Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Tools for Conviviality is a short but highly influential work of social criticism by Ivan Illich, first published in 1973. It belongs to the tradition of political philosophy, technology criticism, and reformist social theory, rather than to a technical or instructional genre. Illich examines how industrial institutions and large-scale technologies shape human behavior, limit autonomy, and create dependence instead of freedom. His central purpose is to argue for a different standard of social organization, tools, and institutions should remain limited enough that people can use them creatively, understand them, and govern them collectively. The book is especially concerned with technology, education, transportation, and production systems, but its broader aim is ethical and political. Illich asks what kinds of tools support human flourishing, and what kinds undermine it by becoming monopolistic, opaque, or counterproductive. The result is a compact but challenging critique of modern industrial society and a proposal for more decentralized, participatory, and human-scale ways of living. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, conviviality as the standard for human freedom and interdependence. In his framework, a convivial society is one in which people can interact freely with one another and with their environment, rather than merely responding to systems designed for them by experts or institutions. This is not a call for isolation or self-sufficiency in the strict sense. Instead, it emphasizes personal interdependence under conditions of real autonomy. That distinction matters because Illich is not rejecting all tools or organizations. He is arguing that social arrangements should preserve the user's capacity to act meaningfully. A convivial tool does not simply make work easier. It allows judgment, skill, and creativity to remain in the hands of the person using it. This concept becomes the measuring stick for everything else in the book. Once conviviality is understood as an ethical and political value, industrial efficiency can no longer be treated as automatically beneficial. Illich asks whether a tool enlarges agency or quietly replaces it with dependency. That question is what makes the book more than a general critique of technology. Secondly, while large industrial systems become counterproductive, industrial systems tend to simplify human life only at first. Later, they create new dependencies, demand specialized knowledge, and narrow the range of actions ordinary people can perform. Illich's concern is not only with machines in the narrow sense, but with productive institutions broadly understood, including schools, transportation networks, health systems, and media. His criticism is structural rather than nostalgic. He is asking what happens when a system becomes so dominant that alternatives disappear. The answer, in his view, is that users lose competence and communities lose control. What looks efficient from the outside may actually weaken the social fabric by making people less able to solve problems without mediation. Thirdly, radical monopoly and the exclusion of non-users. The point is not merely that one company or one institution controls a market. Illich means something deeper. The tool reshapes the environment so thoroughly that it becomes hard to live well without it. The automobile is the classic example associated with his argument, because roads, cities, and daily routines are increasingly organized around car use. In that kind of system, people who do not drive are not simply choosing another option. They are often pushed to the margins. This idea extends beyond transport. Educational credentials, medical systems, and industrial infrastructure can also become radical monopolies when they define what counts as legitimate participation. Illich's analysis is powerful because it shows that monopoly can exist even when many providers are present. If all of them serve the same dominant form, then choice is only superficial. The real issue is whether human-scale alternatives remain viable or whether the system makes dependence unavoidable. Fourthly, education media. And the problem of overprogramming, schooling can become a mechanism for sorting, certifying, and conditioning, rather than for cultivating curiosity. This is why Tools for Conviviality is often read alongside Illich's broader educational writings. He is skeptical of systems that define learning as a product delivered by experts to passive recipients. Such systems can produce credential dependence and reduce the learner's sense of initiative. The same logic appears in his discussion of media and programmed information, where people are trained to consume, rather than to interpret or create. Overprogramming, in his sense, means the colonization of human development by institutional scripts. The result is simply inefficiency but reduced agency. By contrast, a convivial learning environment would support autonomous exploration, mutual teaching, and access to tools that let people learn through use and participation rather than through bureaucratic progression. Lastly, decentralization, austerity, and social limits as political choices. He links this to austerity in the sense of measured limits, not deprivation for its own sake. Limits are important because they preserve plural forms of life and prevent one system from crowding out all others. The political challenge is to create institutions that enable participation without absorbing everything into bureaucracy. This is why Illich's vision is often associated with appropriate technology and degrowth thinking. Still, the book is not a simple program or policy manual. It is more a framework for judgment than a blueprint. Readers are asked to ask whether a tool enlarges freedom, whether it can be learned and adapted, and whether it remains compatible with community life. That evaluative method is one of the book's lasting contributions. In conclusion, Tools for Conviviality is best suited to readers interested in political theory. Technology criticism, education reform, environmental thought, and the philosophy of institutions. It will also reward anyone trying to understand why some forms of progress feel liberating, while others produce dependency and control. The book's practical value lies less in offering direct solutions than in sharpening judgment. Illich gives readers a vocabulary for identifying when tools, systems, or services stop serving people and begin organizing people around their own expansion. That makes the book useful for thinking about transport, schooling, medicine, labor, and digital systems, without reducing all criticism to anti-technology sentiment. It stands out from many similar works because it combines ethical argument, institutional critique, and a coherent alternative vision without becoming merely nostalgic. Instead of simply condemning modernity, it asks how societies might preserve competence, participation, and human scale. Its influence on appropriate technology, degrowth, and deschooling debates also shows that it is not just historically important, but conceptually durable. Readers looking for a concise but demanding challenge to industrial assumptions will find it unusually rich. If you would like to support Ivan Illich, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.